Friends, I'm going to read to you from Matthew's Gospel, and a moment for you just to take in, hear what God's vision and his mission really is, and a chance to reflect on that. Matthew's going to be the Gospel that we focus in for the year, but in Matthew 28, verse 16, starting from there, Jesus says to his disciples, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always till the very end of the age.'" Just take a moment to think about that. Take a moment to share with someone something that might have stood out to you as you just heard that, and then we'll start sharing some other things. But take a moment as you've just heard those words from Jesus on his lips. If you've got something to share, something that really stood out to you as you first heard it or heard it again there, go for it. Okay, hopefully you can continue to share those thoughts over a meal later on in our barbecue that will be happening. We might run out of batteries online, so if it goes dead, it's only 15% or something happening here. If it goes dead, that's why you know what happened. The batteries ran out. I left my phone at home. We're using another one. Let me pray for us. Dear Lord, thank you that you are a God of vision. You're a God of mission. And we ask and pray that you'll put on our heart the things that you want us to see and open our eyes to what you have for us as we share over this time together now. And we ask this in Jesus' mighty name, the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. Amen. Can anyone tell me the first sermon, scripture that was preached on in Australia? Does anyone know which is the first? It's a psalm. I'll give you that. First psalm that was used to preach in Australia, on Australian soil. We're getting any closer? It's in the Hallel Psalms, which is the Hallel praise in Hebrew. And that's where we get Hallelujah, Yahweh. So a shortened version of Yahweh, just Yah, Hallelujah. Are you with me? And it's in that section of the Psalms, which is from Psalm 113 to 118. Come on, guess, anyone? We've got a bingo here. 116, who said that? The man in the white. Oh, the other man in the white. Psalm 116, a man named Richard Johnson used scripture from Psalm 116, verse 12, "What shall I render unto the Lord?" as that was spoken on in February, the 3rd of February in 1788. There you go. So he used that psalm. What was, sang Amazing Grace. You know the guy who wrote Amazing Grace is? Yeah, not the one that we sang, but the old version. Newton, okay, John Newton wrote that one. And he was the ex-slave trader. And Newton was around at the time as Richard Baxter as well. And he wrote these things regarding the chaplain that they were trying to find for the colony that was coming to Australia. He said, "A minister who should go to Botany Bay without a call from the Lord or without receiving from him an apostolic spirit, a spirit of mission, enabling him to forsake all, to give up all, to put himself into the Lord's hands, to sink or swim, had better run his head against a stone wall." He knew that it was, you needed to be called from the Lord if you're going to come here, and it wasn't going to be easy. And so he wrote those words, Newton. Now in October 1786, that was when Johnson was appointed. He got a royal warrant as the chaplain of the colony of New South Wales. He was 31 years old at the time. In May 1787, they set sail. Now, it took a long while to get here in those days, remember? And in February 1788, there was the first church service happening here on Australian soil with some of the Marines, some of the convicts, and those that were gathered there. There's a memorial that you can find down near Circular Quay in the city. Lots of people walk past it, and it is really there, but it picks up and it marks this point in our history. Richard Johnson really had to have a vision and a good reason to come to Australia. It wasn't going to be a walk in the park, as Newton pointed out. And at ABCH, we're trying today and thinking about a vision the Lord's putting upon our heart, and trying to gain a vision for where the Lord is taking us to. When I came here in December 2016, we started here. The sign didn't look quite like that, so there's a new and updated sign. Then in November in 2021, I was reappointed here, just of recent times, and now here we find ourselves in February as well, in February 2020, 234 years after the first church service happening, and we are trying to capture and renew our vision, get a fresh vision and a clear vision for what God is doing and what God is calling us to. So that's what today is about. Psalm 127. Oh, we've got some extra battery coming here. What a suitable helper. Oh, okay, it's not that plug, it's another plug. Yes, thank you. We are telling you it's only 10% power for those at home, so see how much more you get. Psalm 127, last week we looked at, and we reminded us that we need to allow the Lord to build, right? In Psalm 127, and it's probably the most famous bit of that people remember, is unless the Lord builds, the builder labors in vain. And so we have to remember to come to Him and need to call out to Him for that vision and that view forward and that clear way forward. Seeking His work and seeking what He is actually doing. It's not our plans, our ideas, our vision. Now, can you bless it, Lord? It's more, should be around the other way. We should be actually seeking what the Lord is doing and getting on with what He is doing, and then we'll be blessed anyway, won't we? If we get on board with where He is heading. So, we can do that in prayer, seeking God in prayer. And as Graham has encouraged us, our prayer coordinator, did you know he hopefully also puts a little insert in the newsletter each week, and hopefully that is a blessing and a challenge, encouragement to you. The men that meet at 6:30 in the morning, but there's other prayer groups, and he also encouraged us as an association, and there's opportunity with our association and World Day of Prayer. So we can be seeking God in prayer, and we can be seeking God in His Word to see what He is doing in this world and what He is calling us to. His vision for His world. And so I encourage us to continue to turn to prayer and to His Word to do that and see and capture that vision that God has for us. But thinking more specifically here at ABCH, one of the things that we found in 2016-2017, which was called the Discipleship Pathway, and this was from studying the life of Jesus and seeing how He made disciples and how He lived and operated and how He went about life and ministry. How did He make and multiply disciples? Well, one of our core mission partners, Ambassadors for Christ, helped us with that. And we looked at this pathway, which I think is most helpful. And I'll run us through the pathway and show you and think about Jesus in His ministry, but also think about our church life and our ministry here. So I don't know if you've read through the Gospels and noticed and looked closely at what Jesus is doing. And sometimes you can sink There's people who have synchronized kind of the Gospels together and put a harmony together and try to put Jesus' ministry in order. And that was one of the resources that was helpful to us as we studied the life of Christ. But if you've read through John recently, you'll notice that Jesus connected with people regularly, different groups of people. So he went and spent time at a wedding. Now, it was probably in his hometown, so he probably knew a lot of the people there. But he actually invested in people's lives and just connected with them, spent time with them, getting to know them more personally. And can you imagine, you know, he danced at a wedding, he did things that you do. Do you dance at a wedding? Come on, who likes to cut the tile at the weddings? Yeah, a few hands, a few reluctant ones. He spent time. And in that culture, they probably did do a lot of dancing at weddings. But I also see Jesus connecting with a woman at a well. He connects with individuals personally. He sent his disciples off and he goes and in John 4, he meets with a woman at a well. A woman from a very different background and a woman even from a very different culture. But he spends time with her. That was a really significant, you know, encounter with that woman who was a non-Jewish woman as well. And he steps outside all the boxes and parameters to connect with this lady. And then she goes and connects with her people and the news of him spreads. Further as you travel on or different parts of the gospel, and some people have studied the life of Jesus and tried to see chronologically how much time he spent. And they can kind of guess or work out that between a year and a year and a half, Jesus spent getting to know and spend time with people before he actually called his first disciples. That's out of 3 years. So that's a lot of time actually spending connecting with people, isn't it? Anyway, we see other people that he connects on with. Who are other people? I think of Zacchaeus. Remember, he's down this time. The woman was in Samaria, a non-Jewish area. Now he's down in Jericho when he meets Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, who is a tax collector, so he's mixing it not only with a woman who are probably a woman of the night, but he's a tax collector. And he meets that man, Zacchaeus. I must stay in your house. So he's going to meet people and other people that he's connecting with there. You think further on, Simon the Pharisee in Luke 7. He's in the Galilee region there. And he's mixing it now with the religious people. And so he spends time at Simon the Pharisee's house, actually sharing with the people there who have come for dinner. So Jesus connecting me. He's constantly connecting with new individuals and people and groups. Why is he doing that? Because he wants to share his love and he wants to share his word with people. That is really our vision. It's on our sign. We want to share the love and the word of Jesus to the plateau and beyond. That's what Jesus is doing there. He's calling people to be one to him and what he is doing. And so he calls people out. He calls blue-collared workers. The first two of the first followers that he calls, Peter and his brother who? Peter, Andrew, yes. Okay, they're fishermen. They're blue-collar workers. And then he goes to the sons of thunder. Okay, James and John. More blue-collar workers. Fishermen, he calls them. But he also calls white-collar workers because when you see him getting to Levi, the tax collector. And so he's winning people to his cause and winning people to himself in what he is doing in this world. And so you see Jesus doing it. Matthew's going to be, by the way, our gospel that we focus in for 2022. So hopefully you look forward to that and something that you get into. But I'll move us on from winning, but we see Jesus winning people from different socioeconomic people groups and different backgrounds. And that's one of the things that we want to be doing here in church life. When people are one to Jesus and give their life to him, then we want to be building them up. We see Jesus building up his followers. What is he building in them? He's building trust and he's building faith in them. They're building faith in him, sorry, I should say. So he's wanting them to trust him. He's wanting his followers to trust him more and more. And that's what we want to see in church life here. That's what we want to see in each other. I shared with the youth on Friday that's what God is want to build in you. This year, he wants to build faith in you. And as we gathered at youth on Friday night, we kicked off there. We looked at Psalm 127 as well. Building his followers up. And that's exactly what we want to be doing as well. When people are built up also, we want to be training them. And we see Jesus training his followers. What does he train them in? Well, he trains them in his prayer, doesn't he? Remember, he teaches them the Lord's Prayer. This is, how do we pray, Lord? He trains them how to pray and teaches them in prayer. He takes them on tour. And there's different tours that they go overseas, did you know? They went over the Sea of Galilee. And they went to different people groups. And you see him take them on different tours to meet different groups and people from different places and backgrounds. And he's training them all the way and along as he does that. And people how to go into Gentile areas as well. Train his followers for the mission that he calls them to in Matthew 28, in which we had read, and we read there together. To make, multiply disciples. And that's really what we say about our mission here, is to co-mission. So it's Jesus' mission. We're co-missioning with him to make and multiply his followers. That's really what we're on about and our mission in our church life here. But we also see Jesus not only train people and train them up and equip them for what they are called to do, he also sends them out. And at different times we read in the scriptures last year, as we looked through Luke's gospel for last year, in Luke 9 we see Jesus sends out the 12 and he sends them out to go and do his work, Luke 9 if you want to look at it. Later on in Luke's gospel, it's grown and built up so much that he sends out 72 followers, two by two. He sends them out in Luke 10, the chapter after. Sending his followers, and we too want to be sending our people out to the plateau here and beyond. So sending us out when we leave from here each Sunday into our workplaces, into our streets, into our recreation places, sending us out to connect with people and to love them, share God's word with them, to win them to Jesus, to build them up, to train them and to send others out. Are you catching the pathway? Are you catching the vision? Seeing what Jesus was doing. The big vision, share the love and word. The big mission is to make and multiply his followers, and the big pathway, which we just looked at there, which we can use as a great tool for us in church life. But thinking of ABCH, more specifically in 2022 as well, at our 9:30 service here, reminded that this is primarily a time where we are built up as Christians and we're meant to be encouraged and equipped, and that's what we're aiming for our gatherings to be. But we also do want to be, if new people come, we want them to hear the gospel. We want them to be one to Jesus and call them to Jesus. But we also, as I just mentioned too, want to be sending each other out as we move from this space each week. I got 2%. We might make it. We looked at our Summer Psalms this year, and that was the start of January, and Psalm 127 to finish off on. Which reminds us of, as I said, building the Lord's house and letting him build the house. We're going to move from now into Joshua, Old Testament. We'll stay in Old Testament. And we're going to be looking at the Old Testament and seeing what the Lord has for us there. But also remember in Joshua 24, talks about the house as well. Does anyone know a memory verse from Joshua 24? It says, "For me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." Exactly. Yeah. And hopefully we'll be thinking about how we can be training our leaders and how we can be leaders in that space as we see Joshua leading God's people. Our creche this year is going to go through a little bit of a revamp. We've got a reno to do in and just freshen that up. The floor covering is purchased. So if you want to be involved in that, if you want to help, recreate that space, that'd be really good. Our kids' church kicked off today, and that space is being pretty much transformed last year. But there's also a few more additions that have arrived there just this week. There is a foosball table now, and there is also our youth enjoyed that. The girls' youth enjoyed that on Friday. But there's also, from yesterday, a little mini air hockey table, four-player. So if you're feeling excited and want to give a run, you can probably have a little go at that too. And take a challenge with some of the kids. But as Leonie also mentioned, there are challenges too with resources in leaders, and there's a great opportunity to serve there. But she'll be and has stepped up to serve first term. Tim will be actually back with us next week, and then the following next Sunday, he'll be here for the first time on Sunday, but he'll be stepping into one day, starting off one day again. Focusing mainly on resourcing and recruiting for kids ministry, and that will be his focus. So that will be starting soon. You'll hear more about that next week. And that's pretty much our kids' church, or that's where that's heading. Our youth, we have some great leaders. Claire is helping out this year as well, who's also excited. Jazz and Isaac, who are helping out with us. And then we have Jody and Greg as well, and myself. And we kicked off on Friday night, and it was a great start to the year. We will be heading to Lake Ainsworth on Friday coming. So we're looking forward to that. And our life groups, as you heard, our life group leaders had a great meeting last Sunday at the Binx's, and citing things happening there, and also thinking about groups that we need for our church life or other groups that can grow. So keep thinking about that space, or if you want to be part of one of those groups, I commend that to you. SRE, as you heard from Merlene as well, our Mums Connect, these are kind of really our Connect ministries where we go into schools, but Mums Connect by name, by nature as well, is an opportunity to connect with young mums. That's starting in March, and Lydia will hopefully be co-leading that as well. One of our mission partners, or our main core mission partners, we picked up on today, but we have our friends in the Highlands, we have our friends in Laos, in Asia, we have our connections that we also have with Kenya and in Africa, but we also have a home mission too, with Area and with Ambassadors for Christ helping us with that as well, our local mission. You heard about women's ministry and what there's the possibilities with that. So that's all some of the things that are happening. Hopefully you're catching a bit of a vision of where we're heading as a church for 2022. But I want to finish with, lastly, just taking us to something which will be a tool for helping us. And that is our National Church Life Survey. And I'm just going to finish on this, and there will be opportunity for you to fill these out now before we have some food together. But let me run you through them. Firstly, this is a study which has happened. The formal church has been here for how many years? 234. Yep. And this study on the National Church Life Survey has been going for 30 of those years. It's the longest study, maybe just in Australia. I don't know if it's overseas as well, of church life. It is a helpful tool for planning. It is a helpful tool for us thinking about how we go about that vision and how we go about our mission. And so I'd be really encourage you to participate in it. I'll run you through it. You can do it online or you can do it on paper, whichever you choose. This one is the under eights. Now, I know a few of you might want to turn this one because this is the draw one. You can draw things. And you can put your smiley emoji on there too. So if you want to encourage our young people to participate, it'd be great to hear. I'd be interested to see what they draw for the church. Do they draw people or do they draw a place? It'd be interesting to see what they come up with. So that's for our under eights. We have for our 8-14s, and with our youth on Friday night, we started to do this, for those that want to participate in that as well. As a parent, I'd encourage you, it's not in that plan, so it's way easier than that. Encourage your kids to do it. It'd be great to hear from them. I'd really like to hear question 7. They've only got 35 questions, by the way, too, all multiple choice. And number 7 question, do you want to know what it is? Do your parents go to church a lot? I wonder what they'll answer. That's for our 8 to 14-year-olds. Be good to hear from them. When you get to 15+, we consider you an adult or of adolescence, and there's an opportunity to fill out this one. Slightly more questions, 69 questions in this one, but says you can finish it in 15 to 20 minutes. Now, I did it, and I'm above average. I took 21 minutes because I'm a slow reader. I still did it in 21 minutes, and I did it on Friday. You may have received that in your mail out and got all the links to that. Take the opportunity to get online if you want to do it online. If not, there's a paper version here for you today. There is not only that, there is, if you want to keep informed, you can fill this one in as well. If you're really eager on statistics, there was someone in our youth group who was so excited about doing a survey. She said, I even fill out our family census. And she said, yeah, I want to do it. Okay, so she... Is anyone here that passionate about surveys? Yes, I know John's a little bit keen on surveys. So if you want some help, ask him. If you want some enthusiasm, he'll give it to you. But if you want to keep up, you don't have to fill this one in, but you can, they'll send you a newsletter, and you can also participate in ongoing research projects if you give your details. But it'd be great to hear from every member in church life, whatever age group you're in, at least a survey, if you do want to connect more or be part of that. There is a leaders one, which I tell you, you don't have to fill in. Only 5 of us do in leadership. Have a guess, how many questions is in this one? It's in the 200s. It's nearly 300. 292, so you're getting off easy, right? And we're also, you know, participating and seeing for leaders and getting their thoughts on what's happening. And that will be all collated. Now, there's a chance to do that. You don't just have to do it today, but it needs to get wrapped up before the end of February. So I'll be encouraging you in that. You'll continue to get emails from the office and the links. Remember, that's your code. If you fill it in today or if you jump on the survey, you can just do it on your device here even today. You don't need the paper copy. And hopefully that will be a valuable resource for us thinking and planning of what God is doing here in this space in the next 5 years. Let me pray as we wrap up this time. Dear Lord God, we want to thank you that you are a God of vision. You're a God who is at work in this world, and you are a God who invites us to be part of what you are doing in this world. So Lord God, I pray that you'll put upon our heart a greater degree of understanding of that vision that you have given us here for this plateau, but also beyond this plateau. We want to share that love that you have shown and shone into our heart. We want to share your word with people where they find out about that love. And Lord God, we want to be and doing the mission that you have called us to do, to make and multiply your followers. Lord God, thank you for the pathway which you've shown us in your scriptures, that you've given. And we pray that this will be a useful tool for us as we think about it. And Lord God, we also pray that this survey will be a useful tool for your church as information is gathered to consider what are the best ways of reaching out and achieving the vision that you have given us, the mission that you've put upon our hearts. And we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There it is, my friends. Doesn't say we've run out of batteries, so we might have made it. Hopefully we did. I'll press OK to get that sign off, but hopefully some people are still in line with us. I'd really be interested to hear what you say about question number 48 when you get to it. And you can see and have a look at what that is. And hopefully that will be something that stirs us. We're going to move from here to do that. Jody is going to be our point person. See Jody there? She has got all you need for a survey. If you're going to do that now, and you can see her. She'll also be the lady to give it back to If you don't know any of the number or can't remember the number, have a look at that. I'll put that one back on the screen and we'll leave that up, and also leave the web address up there which you can go to directly, or you can go to the nationalchurchlifesurvey.org website. We're going to have meals being cooking for us as well, so as you fill out your survey, enjoy the smell of the barbecue that's on its way. And I'm going to give thanks for that now as well too. So please pray with me, and then there will be a chance to pick up kids or to pick up a survey. Dear Lord God, we thank you for all that's been shared this morning. We really pray and ask, Lord God, that we'll continue to share with one another now. We pray that you'll continue to shine into us the vision and mission that you're placing upon our heart. We ask, Lord God, that this survey will be a great tool in that. And Lord God, we pray that this food will be a great nourishment in serving you and living out the vision that you have for us here and the mission that you're calling us to. And we ask and pray this. And thank you for those hands that have prepared it. Bless them, Lord, and strengthen us. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.